Hello, my name is Rich Jones. I'm a co-founder of U-Turn and the Chief Clinical Officer of U-Turn Health, and I'm also a co-host of this wonderful podcast.
And my name is Liz, and I'm a co-founder of U-Turn and a co-host of You Learn, You Turn.
And let's get the show on the road.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to another episode of You Learn, You Turn. Today, I have a return guest. We had her last week. Her name is Tiffany Hines. She is a U-Turn health coach. And last week she gave us, if you haven't listened, please go back and do so. She has given us a lot of stuff to think about from her past and how she has, how she changed her life and overcame addiction and is now helping others. But what we want to dig into today is the nuts and bolts of transformation, because like me being in recovery, you don't just get to a place and all of a sudden everything's great, right? You have to maintain it. You have to work at it every single day. And I think a lot of people love the story of the Phoenix rising, and we all love the story of the, you know, the feel good. She got a job. She's a productive member of society. But Tiffany, it's not easy, and you made it look easy. And sometimes people tell me I make it look easy, but it isn't. It's work. And I think that we would be selling our audience short if we did not tell them and give them some tips on how to not just maintain sobriety, but maintain serenity. Because that, to me, is the key to life. Like, everything could still be going crazy around me, but if I don't have that inner peace, I'm going to jump right into the fray and maybe go back to using, because that's the feelings that I was trying to avoid. So without further ado, welcome back, Tiffany. And please help us out.
Yeah, everything you said is so true. And I always like, and because I work with a lot of women, I work with a lot of women outside of coaching in real life. And I think that there's something I see a lot in recovery, and that's that people kind of put the addiction aside and they start to accumulate these outside things. They start to accumulate the car or the job. Or the girl, and their life looks good. And I think people fall short of realizing that, like, the problem has always been internal. So it's an internal problem that things outside of ourselves are not going to fix or fill. They might feel good, and it might feel like it looks good, but it really has some digging to do within. And it's not comfortable. It was very uncomfortable. What happened for me is I started to surround myself with these women that had that peace or that serenity. And I think at first, if I'm being completely transparent, it was the moms. It was the women that had their children that was like the first thing I was aspiring towards. And the closer I got to these women that had these things that I wanted, I just started to listen to what they told me to do. And that was a transformation where I was kind of like taking these steps that didn't really make sense to me. And I was seeking guidance and asking these women for their advice or input or whatever it was, any sort of direction to help me change the person that I was, to take these steps. And I did all sorts of things. I went to therapy. I think I talked about before that I was in the 12-step program. And so, like, I really started to realize that a lot of the things that were driving me in my life were these beliefs that I had developed when I was a child, and these ideas about myself based off of, like, these experiences I had that I didn't realize that they were running me. I had, like I said before, a really rough childhood, and I had developed this idea that, like, I wasn't good enough. I'm not good enough. So what I did, I realized this through some work, is that I wanted to be accepted by people so bad that I started to go out into school and any sort of relationships I could develop, and I wanted to be accepted. So I put on this mask. So whatever you needed me to be so that you would like me, that's what I did. And it ran me for a long time. So, like, along with that comes, like, the validation of others and people pleasing. And I really went down this rabbit hole that when I got to the point where I was in recovery, I had to look at that stuff and do work and really heal the person on the inside.
Right.
Because I was broken. I was broken. And once I realized that, like, okay, so this has nothing to do with anything outside of myself. This is all an inside job. It got really uncomfortable, and there was a lot of, truths to face that I don't think, truth be told, like, without guidance and support, a lot of people are willing to do, or it's not for the faint of heart, you know? But it's freeing. I get to not only do this work to heal myself, but I can not pass that generational trauma onto my children, which is like the biggest gift.
Yes.
I get to parent my kids differently, you know?
Right. Right. Do you feel like, Tiffany, you got a lot of that healing journey or a lot of that digging deeper through therapy, through 12 step, through other women?
I think it was all three. Okay. I can't say it was just one. I realized that, like, up until 33 years of life, of like trying to turn my life around, that I knew nothing about life. I knew nothing about functioning as a normal member of society. I knew nothing about being a mother. I didn't really even know how to be a friend. This was all stuff that people had to gently and lovingly show me how to do. And it was all of it. So I dealt with some trauma in therapy. I seeked guidance from these women. And in that guidance, that led me to meditation. That led me to, a really spiritual foundation that I hadn't ever been exposed to before. Up until that point in my life, I had this resentment against religion, because mm-hmm. I felt like it was conditional, like it had to look a certain way for it to fit.
Right.
And so I've been able to work through some of that stuff on my own. But I couldn't get behind the God concepts, and I couldn't get behind really connecting with the power that was bigger than myself, because I always thought I had to look a certain way, or I had to act a certain way. So I got to see these women who, that wasn't their truth, and that wasn't the circumstance for them. So they were kind of like my seeing to believe moment.
Yeah.
That was like a really big thing that has come into my play, even in play in my life, even today, is I had to see to believe. I had to see to believe that it was possible in order for me to believe it was possible for myself. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, so would you say that spirituality is kind of the cornerstone of your recovery, or just a piece of it? And how important is that to your recovery?
It's all of it. It's definitely the foundation. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's definitely the foundation. And then, no matter what is going on externally, like, that is always my peace. That is what centers me. And no matter who is in my life, no matter what the circumstances are, like, that doesn't change.
That
has been, I just had to go through all that other stuff to realize that, you know, like, I had to go through all that other stuff and try all these other things and get this and get that and realize that, I still didn't have that peace within to really get to that place to realize, like, oh, that's it. That's the pursuit. That's the idea. Because when I stopped doing drugs and drinking, I realized that, like, I had ultimately lost my solution. Like, that was my relief. So now it had to be
that
replaced.
Was our God.
And
And after using that as a coping mechanism, to me, it was a way to not feel and not face who I really was. And so when you give all that up, it's not just hunky-dory. In fact, giving it up is just the first step. And then it could be anything. It can be shopping. It can be sex. It doesn't have to be drugs or alcohol. It can be social media. Anything you do to, like, get away from stuff you need to work on inside. And, you know, to anyone listening, you don't have to go to a therapist and spend $250 an hour. Tiffany was just saying that she surrounded herself with women who were in recovery and who had something that she wanted, which was peace and serenity, even in motherhood, even in sobriety. And You know, that's one thing I could never imagine was how do you relax or feel okay without a glass of wine? How do you even begin to feel like, you know, your skin isn't crawling if you don't have some sort of outside source? So you're saying that you have found by doing the work and figuring out that you're a people pleaser was what I heard. Mm-hmm. And someone who didn't believe in themselves. Tell us today how you feel about yourself and how different that looks from when you were in active addiction.
I think, like I said, my self-worth was contingent on how others felt about me. That was just my truth. And so like the way that manifested was abusive relationships where like I knew I deserved better, but I didn't love myself enough to carry myself essentially. So like, I had really low self-esteem. I put myself in like situations no woman should ever be in. I had no concept of like prioritizing or, I was living to use and using to live. Like that was it. And whoever was around me that was doing just as bad, if not worse than me, like those were my people. That's what I surrounded myself with. So, and I say this all the time. I could have never prayed for the place that I'm in today because you only know what you know. So there's no way I could have aspired towards this because I had tunnel vision. So when I was in such a dark place, I couldn't even begin to hope to dream for the life I have because it was so far out of my scope of what was possible. And it's crazy because it was like the more work I did, the more the light came on and the highway broadened where I was like, oh, it's really limitless. That yeah. Those things that I did or the person that I was or those beliefs or ideals I picked up from other people is not my truth. Like that doesn't define me today. And it took a while to get to that place. And now I just, for one, I don't run on me today. I run on how I can be effective or useful to other people. I pride myself on being a great mother today. And that's not always been my truth. I haven't always been able to say that in confidence that, I'm a good mother. I'm a good friend. I just think I'm worthy and I'm capable. And even when I first got in recovery, I remember I had hit this place of like contentment and settling where I was just like, okay with the bare minimum.
Yeah.
And that's when I wasn't really doing that work and digging and trying to see really who I was. Cause I had no idea who I was. I knew who I thought I was. I knew who I had to be to survive and to serve a purpose up until that point in my life. But I didn't know who Tiffany was. So the more I've gotten to go within and figure out who I am, the more worthy I know I am, the more capable I know I am. And like I said, that stuff, those things, those decisions that I made play a part in my story, but they're not my truth. They're not who I am today.
Amen. I always think that because I've been in recovery for a while, I see people kind of cycling in and out. And it just hit me that, you know, the thing that most of them have in common, is that they get sober, right? They put down the substances, which is just, whether you put them down, whether you do mat, whatever, but it's the digging in your heels and doing the real gut wrenching, soul searching, inside job work that is required for that real spiritual change that we're talking about, a real change. And it's kind of, they call it rose colored glasses or a new pair of glasses because you truly have to see the world in a different way. You see yourself in a different way. You interact with people in a different way. It's like you're given a new life. But if you don't change, then nothing will change. So right. Eventually, you're stuck with your yuck and you go back to using. So I think that's part of the equation is so important that you have to do the work to change. Or, you know, if you're still feeling yuck, but you've taken the substance away, that's no life. That's just kind of being miserable and dry, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're perpetuating a cycle. If you don't realize it, that those habits that you had in the past, I'll speak for myself, like those abusive, toxic relationships, if I wasn't willing to do the work and heal, I would carry that into my marriage that I have today, right? Like, there's habits that we have that just because you remove the substance, those problems don't fix themselves. That's not something that just writes itself on its own. You have to really go within to break the cycle. Like you said, change the thinking. I had such terrible habits. When I went to treatment, I remember I used to complain a lot because you had to make your bed every day. I literally remember saying to someone, why do I have to make my bed, this twin bed every day, right? And I didn't realize it until later on that they were creating new habits for me because I didn't have any of that. And so I was creating these habits for myself and in having those healthy, what didn't make sense for me habits at the time, it started to point at all the unhealthy habits that I had. And it started to shine a light on the areas that I needed growth. But unless I started taking those little actions that I didn't really want to do that didn't make sense to me, I would still be stuck in those same habits. I would perpetuate the same habits with work. And I completely agree with you. I think that people sell themselves short because like I said, you remove whatever that addiction is and you start to accumulate some things and you think oh, this is it. I've done it.
Right.
But those habits will manifest themselves in different ways. Those patterns will. And so it's something that has to be confronted and dealt with, not by yourself, with whoever you choose. I hear all the time, women are like, you have to have at least one person in your life that you're willing to tell everything to. Just one person that holds you accountable.
I like that. Yeah.
Well, because we can't do it alone. I don't think that we're designed to do it alone, to go through things alone.
No, I love that phrase and I hear it a lot. The opposite of addiction is, what is it? Community?
Connection.
Mm-hmm. And it's so true.
Yeah.
I mean, Tiffany, I still go to 12-step meetings, not because I feel like I'm going to drink, but because I have connection there with like-minded people. And, you know, that keeps me grounded and helps me remember, you know, that I am on a new path, but it takes work. And when I find that I'm starting to feel yuck again, I need to figure out why. I need to go in there and do a house cleaning, so to speak. And I think if I didn't have community with like-minded people that I aspire to have that their lifestyle, then I would continue to go down a bad path and not continue to work on myself. There are two ways to go on every given day, right? We can either be working on ourselves or not. And you are talking about a constant lifestyle of working on yourself. And that is what's brought you to where you are today. So are there other things you would like to share from your actual transformation that might be helpful to our listeners?
I did want to say this because I keep hearing it in my head. When I first got into recovery, I made the mistake of confusing boredom with peace. I lived in such a chaotic life that when things were quiet and still and nothing was going on and there was no drama, I thought I was just bored, right? And so that's a trick my brain would play on me. And now today, being where I'm at, I realize that that's peace. That's foreign when we first get into recovery. We're not used to that. We're not used to that quiet and that stillness. And now that's something that I long for is peace. So I just wanted to say that because I think that's super important. That's something I see a lot. And I do. I believe life today is about connection. It's about growth and to continue evolving and healing ourselves. My big thing is I just want to show up in the world in a way to be helpful and loving, which is polar opposite from the way I was living before with the criminal behavior and just completely selfish and self-seeking. So like today, I just want to be useful and kind to people. And that's not like a thought process that was something I created. That was just kind of something that ended up happening over time.
Well, I have to say that you are the epitome of selfless giving. So I didn't know you before, but wow, what a wonderful, wonderful human being you are today. I just appreciate all you do and everything you're doing. And I love that boredom is not peace. Peace is peace. And I sometimes can get caught up in that too. I'm like, wow, we lead such a boring life. Like we take our kids to school. We show up when we say we're going to be somewhere. We can commit to something. We're responsible. That's not boredom. That is peace and serenity. And you're so right to say that we need to remember that, because I think as, you know, former people and it's stuck in that cycle of addiction, you're right. All we knew was chaos. And all we knew was we didn't know what was coming next. And we almost thrived on that. So yeah, it does take a little time to settle down. I just remember when I was new to recovery, someone told me to take a bath every night. I said, I don't have time for baths. They said, but you do. You know, take 20 minutes. And that became a nightly ritual of just getting in the hot water and just breathing. And, you know, you need that. You need to be kind to yourself, and you need to understand that life doesn't need to be chaotic. It can be peaceful, and it's not boring. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So, well, Tiffany, you're awesome. Thank you so much for coming back and expounding more upon how you remain in the state you're in, because it is not something that you just get there and you're done and you're well. It's an ever growing, ever changing work on ourselves that we do so that we can come out and show up for the world in a way that benefits others around us. So I appreciate you so much. And if you ever want to come back on, will you do that?
Yeah. Definitely. Thank you so much, Elizabeth. I appreciate it.
Thank you for all you're doing. And we will see y'all next week.